Hello, and welcome to episode 526 of the League Rundown. This week's episode is LCS Playoffs and LEC Season Finals Continued, and it is lovingly entitled HOTTO3-0. I am your main host, Kangas, and I'm joined by two esteemed co-hosts. We got a smaller crew this week. Up first, I had, a website with words that rhyme with Bickle last week, and I forgot to look it up, and I'm just realizing it now. But we got Bickle. How's it going?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm a bit sad NRG ruined the entire 3-0 trend, but what can you do?
Hey, there were enough to make the title make sense, and anybody who understands the title reference, you're my favorites in the community. We also have joining us, Hawk.
I'm finally back. Also, I love how, Bickle, you're not the first person I've seen be like, oh man, the 3-0 trend is boom. But like, is that a good thing that we had one decent series to watch this past week?
Here's the thing, even with it being a 3-1, I wouldn't call it a decent series.
Yeah, it was the sloppy. That is, maybe not the sloppiest, this is fair. But,
but like, they at least like did something, you know what I mean?
True. It's like Bwipo might have just hand-packaged or gift-wrapped them the game, but, you know, overall, the NRG were able to pick up one. We're talking about LCS, LEC this episode. Obviously, we are into playoffs now for the LCS, and LEC Season Finals is continuing on. We're still fighting for those last world spots for that region, but before we get into all of that, let's cover some global news. Up first, I have just heard about this one recently, and I don't know too much behind it, but Aurora, the champion, new champion in League of Legends, kind of hyped up for LCS, like, first weekend with Aurora available to play. Is anybody going to play her? Already disabled until further notice, because apparently there's a chrono break issue. Bickle, do you know much more about this story?
I just know partway through the week we had players tweeting that they were upset that they were just finding out about this after practicing her for quite a while. Apparently she just attempted chrono breaks. So Riot's just saying it's not worth the risk.
Not the first time that new champs have done this, by the way. Notable examples, the Mordekaiser rework, I remember being a nightmare for Chrono Break. I feel like there was another one in recent memory. Hawk, do you remember anything about that? Like champions coming out and then Chrono Break not working because of them?
I just remember Chrono Break not working when Riot wanted to in general. Like, I don't remember specific champion releases. Like, especially back in, like, 2016, I remember Riot would always be like, oh, I hope Chrono Break works kind of vibes, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, either way, hopefully they fix that because it would be cool to see Aurora in pro play. Maybe, unless you hate the champion. I still get confused as hell. I've read her kit like 5 times, and I'm still confused when I play against her. Like, how is she doing this? But, yeah, it is fun to see the new champs in the hands of the best players. Also, a global news update. Congratulations to the fourth team to lock in a world's spot. Skull! As the Vikings Esports from VCS have qualified. As a resident Minnesotan, though, I had to get that one in. I'm sad we don't have Mongoose here to be confused about the VCS. Last time, that was hilarious. That was my favorite part of the episode when he just like didn't know who was still in the running.
Yeah, the
Big
VCS,
line, something to say about Vikings?
The VCS actually has come to a close. They have their grand finals already. So Vikings did qualify, but they went on to get 3-0'd by GAM Esports. So congrats to GAM taking the final VCS title, as that league will not exist next year.
This is their last hurrah at the world stage before they join the conglomerate of all the developing regions kind of
going
melding
to
together
APAC.
Over there.
But with the fact that GAM wins that title, they guarantee themselves a spot in that APAC region next year.
That is cool, actually. I do like that. I did not know about that part. Viking Esports, do you know much about the qualifications of like how they're going to get in? Is it an application process, or is there a chance to qualify?
They do not have a chance to qualify. I just know there's 2 more invited guest slots, the guaranteed spot for the winner of APAC this year, and then 4 more spots that Riot just chooses who they want. So I got no clue. And that's between the current APAC region, which is PCS, LJL, Oceania, and VCS. So it's a bunch of teams.
Remember when we would have MSIs and Worlds with like 12 different regions represented? God, what a time that was.
Petridge Farm remembers.
Time to be alive.
I still remember the play-ins being some of my favorite times for Worlds because it was just the scrappiest teams against each other.
Hey, it was always my favorite when Mad Lions were playing.
Get them. I was such a fan of Fongvu Buffalo back in like 2018. I think it was 2018 Worlds. They're just random. I want to say they're a VCS team, right?
They were a VCS team. I don't believe they exist anymore. They went bankrupt.
Yes, they did, but Spam Mark Ruffalo for Fongvu Buffalo, Quickshot made that a meme and immediately regretted it because Mark Ruffalo tweeted about it like, please stop tagging me in posts. And I never did. I never stopped tagging him in posts. But either way, that will be happening going into next year where everything's still just continuing to merge together. Vikings, I will be cheering you on at Worlds, though, because I have Minnesota bias. We don't have an LPL update without Mr. Mazel PL here with us. Unless, Bickle, if you have anything about LPL or LCK that you want to update us on?
Both of them are now in their playoffs. LPL is actually down to the final four teams in the playoffs. BLG and Top Esports are about to play in about 7.5 hours. The winner of that series will lock themselves into Worlds, guaranteed at least second seed based on their points. Weibo and LNG are currently playing in the loser's bracket in like a day or so. Those are the four teams still competing in playoffs. Along with that, NiP... and who else? It's NiP and JDG are locked in as the 5th and 6th seed to fight in the regional gauntlet for the potential last spot at Worlds for the LPL. As for Korea, they're about to go into playoffs right now. They finished off. Genji and Hanwha Life get their first round byes. Genji is the first seed, obviously, only dropping one series. First round matchups are DK playing Fox. FearX, and then T1 playing KT in the Telecom Wars. We'll see what comes out of that.
Sounds good. Also, I have a hunch, not confirmed, but a hunch. The reason Mr. Bazelpiel is not on this episode is he might be casting that series tonight. So rest up, King. Outside of other regions, no big roster news in LCS or LEC to cover. No surprise, as it is, you know, postseason. Rarely do we see stuff like that happen in playoffs, unless it's like teams that didn't make playoffs already announcing changes. But don't expect a lot of that from LCS this year because we're having a whole format change going into next year with a lot of different teams just dropping out. And LEC will probably start to happen a little bit more leading up to Worlds or after Worlds. Otherwise, though, if you have heard of anything behind the scenes or just want to talk about maybe roster swaps, roster changes, anything in the league that you personally have opinions on, come check out our community Discord. You can find a link in the description wherever you are listening along. We'd love to have you in there. Community game nights are going to be coming back. I believe we've had like one or two within the last month, so that's fun to see those return. And also, just fun to see the discussion happening during all the games. We'll probably do another watch party for LEC or LCS finals. I will not be available for that, but LEC season finals, I think I will be available for. I got to confirm the schedule, but hopefully I can hop in and watch along with anybody in the Discord who would like to watch. Also, we got merch. Duffy and Sam, our correspondent over in EU, have put together a merch shop. So in case you had not heard that update, you can go check it out at league-rundown-shop.forthwall.com if you want to further support the pod for fun off-season content, as well as our Patreon. All the patrons, you rock. That's it. And now it is time to get in to what you came here for, LEC and LCS news. We started with LCS last week, so this time around, we're going to take a look at the LEC. We are in week two now of the season finals, so we had two best of five series and 2-3-0s. They were pretty fast. BDS was up against SK to start things off. Bickle, I didn't prep you for this. I wanted to do the same thing where we both picked like three words to try and describe a series to see if we could come up with anything. Do you have, if I put you on the spot, if you don't have you can marinate on it and then come to me later. He's thinking. He's looking. And I maybe questioning my word choice. You have two words, okay?
Classic SK.
Yeah. Yeah, that could work. I do like that. I was going to say Shao Masterclass Jungling. I was actually very impressed with Shao's jungling in this series. I felt that that was, if we had to identify who I thought was the most impactful player on BDS, it was going to be them. And especially in that game two with Sejuani, I mean, he was just making Smolder's life miserable because we did get a Smolder mid this series. I guess I'm getting maybe a little ahead of myself if we want to run it game by game. But basically, this came down to, in my opinion, Shao having more impact on the map and also just better drafting overall from BDS. It felt like their comps were just way easier to execute, and SK would just panic, man. Every time fights were happening, it felt like SK just did not have an understanding of what their comp was meant to do to interact with the opposing comp, say for like the first, 15 minutes of the game one, where they actually had a gold lead.
They just felt so uncoordinated throughout the entire thing.
Yeah. And it's tough because I felt like the solo lanes for SK were coming together, as well as their bot lane kind of being a rock for them for a while, but the bot lane didn't really get much done this time around in this series. And I mean, game one, they had the early lead, but like I said, it was a panic dragon fight. They were up like 3,000 gold, and then Shao pops Maokai ultimate, and everybody freaks the hell out and just runs away, and then they get swept at the fight, and then the gold lead's gone. This is also what I'm going to start coining this, the Minnesota Deli comp, where it's Sejuani, Alistar, Ashe. It's kind of cold. You got your meat selection, and they got engaged for days. Like, these three champs can fight any time that they see somebody out of position, and whenever they want to start a fight, they have the tools to do so. And boy, did BDS start some fights and have the tools to do so. And then by the time game three came around, it was just a slaughter. Yeah. Anything else to add from that one, Bickle or Hawk?
It was just kind of surprising to me how SK's bottom lane started off the split really strong, and we're like, oh my god, this is the bot lane that is going to bring them to the future, this, that.
Mm-hmm.
And they just kind of ended up being fine down the line, you know? They weren't bad, they didn't impress me, which I think was a little disappointing.
I wanted to cheer for them more, but they just didn't give enough reason, like, later on in the season.
SK repeatedly does this where they look phenomenal at the end of the regular season, look strong throughout, play well, then come into playoffs and just completely collapse.
Yeah. Yeah, they, I don't know. They did some fun stuff. I feel for Nitsuki in that game too, man. He was so focused early. Like the level one invade where he just dies on Smolder, and then Shao goes like what, three camps or something into a gank under turret, just diving him under turret. It's like, oh, just leave the dragon alone, man. But the dragon did not get time to scale, and we didn't even talk about how to play Cassiopeia top lane. Like, that was kind of fun. In the rumble, right? Like, is that even a matchup? Does anybody know? Is that like a good matchup for Cassiopeia?
I mean, it looks like it worked.
It did, and that's part of, I think, set up by Shao to help out with that, but they needed AP somewhere in the comp. I mean, with Ashe and then the Corki, and we know that Adam does like to play those fun picks. So I think talking from BDS aside, though, I was happy with the level coordination that they showed. I think the game one early on was a little shaky, where they were, falling behind. But then throughout the series, I think they showed me two things. One, they're pretty coordinated in their engages, and they are committing more often than not when they are looking for a fight. And also, Cassiopeia being a flex pick for them now. They played a mid and top lane in the series. Really, really good to have something like that, especially when you're going up against teams like G2 in the future, where flexing picks and draft becomes so important against a team like that.
The good news for BDS is that after a rough series versus Fnatic, they really seem to turn it around against SK and look solid. The bad news is they need to win two best of fives in a row to qualify for Worlds, one of which is against G2.
Yeah. In fact, their next one being against G2. We'll talk about that in a moment, though, because that brings us to our second series of this past weekend, which was, in fact, G2. I already told you it was a 3-0. And it was not G2 getting 3-0'd by GiantX, let me tell you. Pickle, the average game time for this series was like 27 minutes. It's pretty fast.
The average game time was about 27 minutes. The average gold lead at the end of the game was about 13K.
Oh, God.
Jeez. Jeez.
It was a slaughter. It was always going to be a slaughter. I can't even say again anything about this series. It was just that one-sided. Like, G2 never was behind. They were never not in the driver's seat. They were never not the clear favorites.
Yeah. Which is, I think, a great position for G2 fans to now be in, because it's a clean slate for what happened against MDK the previous weekend, because that was looking like their series to win, and they just couldn't do it. MDK, specifically Merwin's top lane pool, really messing with them. This time around, there was nothing messing with them. There were no weird picks. There was nothing like out of the ordinary, really, coming out from GiantX.
Well, there was a bit of a weird pick by G2. They played Galio top.
I suppose, yes. Alongside an Ivern, too. It's like a really interesting composition. You're trying to play then heavily towards like mid lane, bot lane. And
he also built Riftmaker.
Oh, I didn't even notice that. What?
Yeah.
Huh, you're really drain tanking as Galio, I guess. Weird. Well, you know, Broken Blade is going to do Broken Blade things. He also played Yone, which is another fun pick. One big thing I want to highlight, though, because this is also going to come up in LCS later on, Smolder mid. I mean, at this point, if people are playing stuff like Zeri into you, Zeri does nothing against Smolder in a 1v1. Like, you can just flap away from her if she ever tries to jump on you. You're just going to stack up and have pretty much a free lane. And it would come down to the enemy jungle pick then if they can try and punish you. I think that in this instance with the Maokai, I'm a little scared because Maokai can lock down a Smolder, but still you flap as soon as you see the Maokai on your screen and just try and get back under your turret, and you're probably fine. So I think it's cool to see that pick coming up. I don't know. Have we seen this in like LPL or LCK, or is this just an EU NA thing?
Smolder mid has been picking up a lot of traction in the East.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you're getting waves faster than bot lane. You're able to pivot towards taking Raptors and Wolves much faster and more naturally, because typically with Smolder, eventually you'd start doing that, but it was after, you know, like third or fourth rotation through the jungle, if you can even lane swap at that point, probably much later than that. But now, like, you can see junglers just giving up, like low econ junglers, like the Maokai can just say, oh yeah, just take my Raptors, you're good. And it doesn't slow down the jungler that much, but accelerating the Smolder feels great. So I think it's a cool place to put the champ. But yeah, overall for the series, yeah, this one way less to talk about. G2 smashed. So that brings us to predictions already. I mean, that was a fast weekend of coverage. That feels wrong. But this coming week, we will see hopefully much tighter series, because we do have potential bangers ahead of us. And I say potentially, because that'll factor in a little bit to our predictions as well. For our first series, MDK versus Fnatic. Hawk, if you want to throw yours in there real quick, me and Bickle can at least start off talking about ours. We both have Fnatic taking it. Bickle, you're at 3-0. I have a 3-1. And Hawk agrees 3-0. So he's thinking a sweep there for Fnatic over MDK. I agree the Fnatic should be favored. I think that a big part of why MDK beat G2 was because they were so specific on shutting down top lane and picking these wacky top lane picks. But I think Fnatic, now that they saw how MDK did that to G2, they should be able to prepare for that type. I don't want to call it cheese, but like that type of, you know, approach from MDK. So that's why I'll give a game to MDK. I think they're good enough for that, but I still think Fnatic's a better team. Bickle, what are your thoughts, though?
I think you're dead on with it. MDK's biggest thing against G2 was this modicum of surprise of these weird picks that came out of the top side, a little bit out of the mid lane. But now that that's kind of been shown to the world, I think Fnatic has had some time to look at it and say, okay, we see the pick, we understand it, here's what we're going to do, and if we run into a similar situation. And Fnatic, when they're not playing against G2, has looked solid this year. So I just think they're going to be better than MDK.
Yeah. Any additional thoughts on that one, Hawk? Because you also agree 3-0.
I just think Fnatic and G2 are still by far the best teams in the LEC, if I'm being honest. Like, we had the whole, like, one-team region conversation a few weeks ago, and still nothing has been done to convince me otherwise.
Okay. All right, well, we'll see if that changes for the next series then, because we have G2 versus BDS. Now, according to Mongoose, this is the boring prediction. I'm going 3-0 for both of mine. I still think that BDS is good enough for a win. I think Ice is just too good to not at least carry a game, even if it's against G2. I say that knowing full well that they got 3-0'd by Fnatic, but, you know, it is what it is. But we have two 3-0s from Bickle and Hawk. I imagine it's going to be kind of similar arguments. It may be on Hawk's side. It sounded like you said you just think it's going to be Fnatic G2 in finals and you're just setting that up.
I mean, yeah. I do think BDS is actually kind of good, but I just don't think that they're going to beat G2 in a best of five series. And I think it's 3-0 because honestly, it wouldn't surprise me if BDS is completely mental boomed from the last time they played each other, where they should have actually arguably won the series and they didn't, which was pretty funny and also unfortunate.
Yeah, definitely unfortunate for the fans and all of our predictions, thinking that G2 is going to take that. But Bickle, what are your thoughts? G2 3-0?
G2 3-0, they're the best team in Europe, even after dropping to MDK. They are the favorites for the season finals. I don't think anybody would say otherwise. It's just going to be them versus Fnatic in the finals. And what's really sad about this is this mean it will be G2, Fnatic, and MDK going to Worlds.
That, yeah.
Oh my God, really, yeah.
That's wild. So wait, are MDK, Fnatic... Are either of them locked, or the winner of that's locked for Worlds,
the
right?
The winner of that is locked, and if G2 beats BDS, the other team is locked as well. But if BDS beats G2, then that matchup next week becomes for the final world spot.
Because G2's spot is already locked.
Correct.
Won the summer split, basically.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Well, then MDK Fnatic is going to be a very high impactful match. Huge implications for the future of those orgs, because if they can win that, much cheaper plane tickets, you know? We know we're going, so lock them in now.
It'll save you a day.
Saves you a day, yeah. Also, I did forget to highlight the fact that we will be saying goodbye to two of the teams for the rest of the year. SK and Giant X losing their series. We talked about the winning side and how they're going on in the playoffs, but let's talk about the teams that we're not going to see again and give a couple eulogies here. Hawk, you had SK throughout the summer split, so talk to me about SK, what their summer looked like, and maybe some things that fans can look forward to, especially fans of individual players or people that you think like kind of stood out.
Oh, SK Gaming, a team that felt like they had so much promise and desire to play in the LEC this year. They really tried. Their top laner, who, oh my gosh, I'm forgetting his name. That's really embarrassing.
It's almost like he's irrelevant or something.
Yes. Oh, perfect. Irrelevant. Really rising star in the league. Their bot lane led us to false hope to believe that this team could do something this year, but alas, it's the same sad story. SK Gaming yet to really make an impact in the LEC. I really do think this team had some good moments. Coming out of the regular season, they legitimately looked like one of the best teams. Like I think they were pretty definitively like second or third best, and with BDS being fourth coming out of the regular season, at least based on my eye test. Unfortunately, it was not enough, but you know, they had a good year, and I think they can be proud of what they did.
I agree. I think that I want to give shout outs to Rahel and Luan for coming in and having a, you know, completely different culture coming in from Korea and just making it work as best they could. And for the most part, they still did make it work. I know that we were saying, you know, I echo your sentiment that was hoping for more out of them, but also it could have been way worse. We see sometimes import players come in and just not do well. And I feel like They were more middle of the pack than I was hoping based on their early season performances, but I don't think they bombed out. I don't think that they were disgraced or anything. They can still, if they stay in the region, cool. If they do not, I think they can leave with their heads held high saying, hey, we showed what we got and what we're capable of. So there we go.
Yeah.
Bickle, would you like to eulogize Giant X, please?
Sure thing. Giant X coming into spring made two roster swaps that we were both all kind of very confused about, but it kind of worked. The big thing for them coming out of this season is they can look in the mid lane, they can see Jackies and say, we've got our guy. They found their mid laner to go forward and kind of build stuff around. Patrick likely still has Stockholm Syndrome as AD carry. He's never leaving this team, even if he wants to. And the rest of the team is kind of where the question marks come in. The Antonio followed a bell curve this year, or this summer, where it started off as, yeah, he's not good, to, wait a second, is he okay? To, no, he's not good. So we'll have to see what happens there. Juhan had his ups and downs, and Ignar is Ignar. He will coin flip every single game and either be a godly engaged support or in your entire lead away. So we'll have to see what Giant X builds on top of, but the big positive for them has to be Jackies.
I agree. I think build around Jackies. If you're going to make big changes, make sure that's not one of them. There we go. Also, games to watch. Typically we do that. It was only two series, so it's kind of hard to do that. Usually you would watch the whole series, but I will say go watch game two of SKBDS. Probably one of the more entertaining of the weekend because it's not just a straight up schlacking. And then you get to understand, you understand why I named it the Minnesota Deli Comp. So yeah, give that a whirl. And that's it. That's crazy. We will have our LEC, I guess it's not finals, right? Yeah, no, it's just these two. We got one more weekend after this of LEC games.
Yep, we still have two weeks of games to play for the LEC.
2 weeks of games, two more series this weekend, and then two series the final week. So stay tuned for that. That's our thoughts. Let us know yours in the community Discord. But now it's time to hop on over the pond to the beautiful and sun-shining Los Angeles, California, or rather Santa Monica, California. I don't even know. I think the Riot building is technically still within L.A., but either way.
I actually think it's technically within Santa Monica. Yeah.
All right. Well, I just wanted to prove Duffy wrong because he always said Santa Monica. Either way. Week one, that was the first week of playoffs. Wow, my brain is all jumbled. First week of playoffs happened for LCS, and it was pretty fun. I will say, we didn't get perfect 3-0s, but it would have made the title even better if we did. But the fact that we got such a dominant performance from one of the teams that we're going to start off talking about gives me some hope. Because I have held out as the sole remaining believer in Dignitas to this moment that they could do it. They could make it work. And nobody agreed with me last week. And boy, were you all rewarded. And was I just flipped the bird by Sven, who said, nope, I'm not going to carry shit. And 100 Thieves 3-0'd Dignitas. It was insane. Hog, do you want to start off talking about it? Because, like, I didn't think there was a world where they could 3-0.
No, absolutely not.
Just, like, win the series.
I think most people would have expected a reasonably exciting competitive series, right? Like, 100 Thieves has been good-ish, and Dignitas have been disappointing, I think, to say the least, right?
Yeah. So
I think most people could have expected something reasonably competitive, but yeah, the 3-0 came completely out of nowhere. Dignitas looked terrible. Absolutely terrible. And this 100 Thieves team, an absolute joy to watch for me. I really like the young guns on the team. They, since Tomo has come in, have looked completely revitalized. It has been so much fun. And yeah, I unfortunately didn't get to watch much of the series. I didn't get to watch much of the games at all this weekend because I was super busy. But I mean, from everything I saw, it was basically like, all right, dig, time to prove we're good. And they got shit on. So,
yeah.
You know, it happens. But congratulations on 100 Thieves. I'm happy for that team.
And we'll hold it against you, Hawk. You did just start a new job. Everybody say congratulations to Hawk in the Discord for having some really fun work coming up. But I'll catch you up on what happened exactly in the games. Game one, lane swap. 100 Thieves actually pulling it off and sending their bot lane top much earlier than any other team has been doing, save for Team Liquid. They're really like the team that's making that happen right now, and it felt like 100 Thieves, with a substitute AD carry coming in, basically, or like a last-minute change to the roster, sliding in perfectly well with everything, getting an early kill top lane, and then just committing to it, racing for turrets, and then out-executing in team fights. And then Quid is the one to pull out the Smolder mid in game two, and this is when I see Smolder is perfect. You see a Zeri mid on the enemy team and a Brand jungle, they ain't doing shit to you. You're gonna free farm for the entire game and just be a problem. Like, they do not have an answer to that, and it's great to see. And then even like the Lilia Senna coming out in game three, I think is kind of fun. There's just full different identities of comp for 100 Thieves throughout each three game. It's like a lane swap with an aggressive AD carry Misfortune in Nautilus, then the Smolder protect him in the mid lane with scaling and like a Jax Lilia Smolder, and then just like Senna with Lilia to say, run in, I'm going to keep you alive and have fun. I don't know, Bickle. I thought it was just really cool to see that despite the changes and how young the squad is, that they have so many different ways to play League of Legends.
Definitely. It shows a lot of potential for the squad, and it's really exciting. You got to give props to Tomo, like you mentioned, coming in as this sub AD carry, meshing really well with the team. Last week pulls off the player of the week. This week gets to 3-0 the team that kicked him. That's got to feel good for him.
Yeah, that is the craziest part. Tomo was on Dignitas last split. Dignitas kicked everybody, to be fair. They did a full, you know, roster explosion. Still rip XU in his situation. But yeah, I mean, I think that's got to feel good for Tomo, and Tomo stocks should be at an all-time premium. I still felt that he was one of the players that I was like, it hurt the worst to have him gone from the league of a lot of the players on Dignitas, in my opinion, from last split. So yeah,
Tomo actually went deathless this series, and so did Sniper, who got to solo kill Licorice and then emote on him in real life.
Oh yeah.
Oh, we didn't talk about that during global news.
Top tier. The fact too, I saw a Reddit thread like the day before being like, yo, why the hell is Riot nerfing this emote? And then Cypher does it. Like, come on, man, that's crazy.
It's amazing. Dude, Sniper is such a fun character to have in the league, and I love that he's willing to do stuff like that. Also, shout out to Quid for, I know you're saying deathless performances from top lane and bot lane. Quid, it's so rare that in a series you see somebody over 11 CS per minute, but Quid pulled it off, a lot of that being the Smolder game, because my God, was he just farming and taking everything. But yeah, I mean, this team clicked, and they slaughtered Dignitas. So yeah, I mean, that really, I think, changes perception of them going forward. There were still questions of like, okay, we think that they're better with Tomo, but how much better? And this was a resounding statement of, oh, we're this much better with Tomo on the roster.
So I do think it looks really good for them, but I also think people are getting a bit too overhyped from all these results, because so far they've beaten Immortals, Shopify Rebellion, and Dignitas.
Okay, you know, fair enough. With the rosters change, those are not the hardest teams, and they have the hardest team coming up ahead of them on the schedule, but we'll talk about that in a moment. But I'm happy you bring that up, tempering expectations, or rather slowing the hype train a little bit might be beneficial. But the other series that happened this last weekend was the only not 3-0 between LCS and LEC, and that is between FlyQuest and NRG. I had FlyQuest 3-0, and pretty much everybody did, except for Mizell, who actually believed in the 3-1, and he was right. NRG picked up a game, but FlyQuest still took the series. And Bickle, we talked about it a little bit already. It was kind of a sloppy one. Like, FlyQuest get it, but specifically top lane, something's going on with Blippo, man. Like
that game too, the one that NRG actually wins, they owe a big thanks to that Blippo Flicker Blade Volley Bear build.
Giga Chad.
Oh my god.
We all, in their defense, we also did see the brief return of Palafaker in game number two. He just never showed up again and gave Blippo his thanks in game number four as he decided to int to the Renekton multiple times.
Game four aside, I actually thought Palafox had a really good series. I know that there's still two other losses in there, but in those losses, it kind of felt like he was still doing the best he could. His DPS was solid on things like the Corki, despite the fact that the games weren't going their way. But yeah, game four was really rough.
I think on the Palafox point, you know, I know he tweeted that he's felt a lot of pressure this season. He knows he's not been himself, that kind of thing. I do think Palafox had a reasonably good series. And like, I want to give him that props because he has really struggled this split. It was, by all means, not a great series, but he played fine. And so I know a lot of people were like memeing like, oh, Palafox totally griefed that one, whatever. But I think that is like important to emphasize. I think he had a reasonable series against FlyQuest.
Yeah. And had to play against Quad, who then pulled out the Smolder as well. Dude, the Smolder mid's just going everywhere. Be ready for that to just be the thing right now. And I also want to give shout-outs to the bot lane for FlyQuest. I know Masu was getting a lot of praise this past weekend's performance. I think he had a fantastic performance. Specifically, his Ashe game was insane. Those arrows were just sniping people. Like, he was basically the primary engage.
Was it in this series? It might have been the last FlyQuest series. Again, the games are kind of running together for me. Was it in this one where he almost had a crazy kiting 1v3 on the Ashe?
That was the last one. Yeah.
Dude, that was so close to like one of the most ridiculous outplays I've ever seen. And it still was a ridiculous outplay, even though he didn't kill anyone.
And we got even closer to one this series. The loss that they had, he's 1v4 or 1v5 in base as Misfortune against all of NRG, and he gets a double kill, and like they still end the game because they just focus Nexus, but he almost sweeps them there, and I was like, dude, Masu's been like, he's Masu's always been having nice. His moment, man.
But like, he's getting there, though. He's been nice. He's been nice.
Ramping up, yeah.
Yeah, we talk a lot about Masu there, but in that Ashe game in particular, the pairing with Busio's Bard was just money. It was
the moment
beautiful
where
to see.
Busio hits, it's a top river. I don't even remember like what time of the game, but there's a double Bard ult, and Masu times the Ashe arrow perfect. There's a support and AD carry. He times it so that the arrow, it goes through both, but when the Bard ult expires, it's on the AD carry, so it stuns them. Oh, it was so good.
It was just great to see.
Yeah,
but also
that's my one to watch. You got to watch that game. That's game three of FlyQuest versus.
Yeah, that's
the
game three. That was great to see overall. But something to note for Inspired, he's been all about these hyper farm carry style AP junglers this entire split. But aside for game four when he pulls out the Lilia and does Inspired things, he really changed it up. We saw him on Vi, Viego, and Sejuani.
Yeah. And he was a problem. The Lilia, he was just constantly going top lane. I feel so bad for Dokla for first off taking this loss, and then the second loss hours later on Twitter when Blippo just outs his like Rumble win record. That was wild.
That was fucked up, man. Like, that was fucked up.
Yeah.
It's one thing if they had been talking shit like before the series or like it's right after, but hours later, like, come on, man.
So funny, dude. And then, Dokla just had a rough time top lane. Like, that game four was in game four, he had a rough time top lane. I actually thought Dokla, for the most part, was kind of outperforming Blippo in most of the series, which was it made it funnier that Blippo was just so, like, aggressive with him. Maybe that was part of it, though. Hopefully it was friendly banter. I still think the FBI is trying his best on this energy team. I think Palafox had a relatively good series, all things considered, but they just can't put the pieces together, and it shows. We did see contracts try and pull out like a Nidalee game and pull off that type of combo. It was like Nidalee Ziggs, like poke, but then also Nidalee Renekton. So like theoretically, you can play the top lane. Even Leona can lock things down for the Nidalee Spears, but they just weren't given those opportunities because. This game, Bwipo said, I'm going to pick Darius. Just smash it down in lane against Dokla. And yeah, I think FlyQuest, I'm happy with a lot of what I see, but I'm still concerned with other things that I'm seeing. Specifically, like I said, top lane, not being able to hold it down consistently. And while it's cool to see Inspired trying different jungle picks, it's against a Contrax who is having one of his rough splits. And we know the difference between a good contract split and a bad contract split. We're getting a bad one against other junglers in the league. I think that Inspired still shows that he struggles more.
We've talked about basically everybody else on FlyQuest. Quad is coming to his own, really. We were all worried coming into the split, especially that first series against Team Liquid. He looked really shaky. But ever since then, he's continued to elevate himself and has looked really solid as one of the stronger points of FlyQuest.
That game one Orianna was actually filthy. I'm happy you brought that up because I did kind of forget about Quad's performance on that champ in particular. He had like three different 4-5 champ ultimates. It was like, oh, juicy, man. That's what you want to see when that champion's locked in. And it was like with the Vi too. So it seems like FlyQuest is pivoting back to we've seen this in the meta before. And you know, what can counter AD mid laners, maybe just lock them down and blow them up. Although this was against an Azir, but theoretically, I think it could also fit some other things too, or against other types of comps. But yeah, there we go. That is the last week in a nutshell. Like I said, my game to watch is game 3 of FlyQuest NRG, just so you can watch Masu Busio absolutely steamroll kids. Bickle, do you have any must watch games from the weekend?
Not too much. Game 4 is the closest style game where one team gets a lead and ends up throwing it away. But I do agree that Game 3 is the most entertaining of them all.
Hawk, any thoughts on your end of... Well, you said you weren't able to catch all of them, but yeah. Any ones you'd recommend?
I have nothing to add to that. I mean...
Gotcha. Yeah. No worries. Well, that means that we just go ahead to our Week 2 predictions. We have more best of 5 series ahead of us, and really exciting teams to watch at this point. Do we not have 3 best of 5s this next weekend? I thought we did.
We have a Friday game as well.
I missed one. That's my fault.
No worries about that. We'll just throw that in because we got to make sure we get our predictions there as well. We have Dignitas versus NRG to kick things off, then Team Liquid 100 Thieves, and then C9 versus FlyQuest. I think after the regular season, it was really tough to tell. Oh, a lot of people lost to each other in like the clump. It was just clearly 2 best teams, a third place team, and then everybody else. It feels like after the first week of playoffs, we were really solidifying, okay, no, there is a bit of a difference between the other teams that were below the top 2, and we're going to see a lot of those matchups. Like Dignitas Energy, this is for the rest of your year and potentially for the rest of your legacy as an org in League of Legends. A reminder that LCS, we don't know if LCS exists next year. It's going to be different. We already know the format changes and what it's going to look like for format, but we do not know what teams are going to be in. And either one of these teams I could see potentially on the chopping block. So Dignitas, NRG, I have not put in my prediction yet. I'm going to stick with it. I've been a Dignitas coper the entire summer. I'm going to stay with it. I'm going to say Dignitas 3-0. Respect. NRG just does not look like they got the heart left in them, and most importantly, they got Huhi supporting them. I'd take Isles any day of the week if I had to pick a support given current form. But Hawk, you got 3-1 Dignitas. Bickle, you got 3-2 NRG. Bickle, I'll let you defend yourself first since you're the only one rooting for the boys in silver and black. I don't even know what their team colors are.
I mean, Dig just looks dead this past week, and if they show up like that again, I just don't see a way they take this series. NRG at least showed like a little sign of life. They took a game off of FlyQuest. Honestly, neither of these teams are going to do anything. They're going to win here and then lose to probably 100 Thieves next round.
I 100% agree. I don't think it matters who wins the series because I do not expect any lower bracket miracle run from either of the teams. Hawk, what are your thoughts on the match?
I have been pretty unimpressed with Dig this entire year. However, I have been an energy hater for longer. So I am going for Dignitas 3-1. I still have to believe that one team of washed veterans is better than another. They got it. They got it in the bag. My goat, Jensen.
At some point, you have to stand on principle. And this is the principle that you're standing on, and I like it.
I predicted energy to come in seventh this split, so I'm going to stick to it. I'm gonna be a hater.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't given much argument against that, other than I do think Bickle's got a point. Dignitas did not look good either, but...
Yes. They've been trash.
Yeah.
But,
All right. That one's going to be the Gulag. If you want to watch some grimy, sloppy, slimy League of Legends, check that one out. If you want to watch some slick, high-octane action, watch this next one. Because whether it's a sweep or it's not, I think it's going to be a fast one. Average game time is going to be fast. 100 Thieves versus Team Liquid. TL is playing faster than they ever had, and if we get the version of 100 Thieves that we saw this last weekend, where they're able to lane swap and play it effectively and better than their opposition, where we have Quid pulling out crazy picks in the mid lane. Okay, Bickle, what are you doing? Why are you raising your finger here?
Did you just say that 100 Thieves could potentially lane swap better than Team Liquid?
That's a crazy take.
This entire year?
No. Better than their competition in this last weekend. Better than they just did. I don't think they're going to be able to do it better than Team Liquid, but they can do it. They're showing that they can play that style now. And I'm going to be honest, anybody who has tried to do it has just failed. Or just, it has not looked like it got them a lead. They pulled it off, and they get first turret, they get first blood, they get a lot for the lane swap. Anybody else who tried lane swap, and it was like, okay, well, we're just going to go back to our normal lane after, like, the first back and pretend like nothing happened. I think that they can bring it to Team Liquid and give them some competition. That being said, I got a 3-0 for Team Liquid.
Yeah, I'm like, what is this guy on about?
But it's going to be a good series. I think it's going to be a really fun gameplay.
I love this 100 Thieves team. I like a lot of the players on their team. I'm rooting for them. With all of this being said, I think they are still going to get blasted by Team Liquid, who I still believe is quite substantially the best team in the LCS.
I don't disagree with the statement that they are the best. That's why I got 3-0. But I do think that 100 Thieves have spark, they got fire in them, and they are not going to just lose gracefully. They're going to lose fighting tooth and nail for everything that they can. And that's what I hope we get. I really hope that we get that type of gameplay. And maybe they can get a win or push Team Liquid. I think it's only going to be good for Team Liquid to get pushed and not just have an easy sweep to Worlds. So, yeah. Bickle, any additional thoughts on that?
You guys have hit every point well. If 100 Thieves were playing C9 or Fly, I could see him fighting, taking a game. It's Team Liquid, though.
All right. Well, let's talk about the others then, because we do have C9 and FlyQuest matching up against each other for our last best of five of the weekend on the lower half of the upper bracket. I got C9 3-2. Bickle's got C9 3-1. Hawk has FlyQuest 2-0. I am so happy that at least somebody believes in FlyQuest, because I think it's going to be a close series. But why do you believe in FlyQuest, Hawk? I'll let you go first.
All right. I think this is going to be a close series as well. Honestly, I probably favor Cloud9 on paper. However, I'm voting for my boy Masu. He's got it. He's been ramping into the split. He's going to take down Cloud9. Also, it's really boring if we all predict C9. So I am going with FlyQuest. I do think this team can very legitimately win this series. My thing with FlyQuest is they have a lot of issues with their game. However, I also think that they have had to learn how to play harder games more so than C9, which still just kind of relies on winning. Just winning, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so for that reason, I do like FlyQuest in this matchup.
Okay. Bickle, what are your thoughts? Why do you think C9 takes it?
I think both these teams are very solid. We saw that when they last played, that even though it was a C9-2-0, they were both competitive against each other. But if Fly plays like they did last week, they did not look up to their normal competition. They did not look like they were on the same point, on the same setting of kind of getting everything all together. They need to work better if they're going to beat C9. I think they have the potential to, but based on what I saw last week from FlyQuest, I have to give C9 the edge.
All right. I just think that top lane's going to be such a massive diff. Like, I actually think Thanatos kind of fists Bwipo in current form. And that's going to be too much of a black hole for the rest of FlyQuest to be able to pick up and carry. But I will give shout-outs. Bot lane, I think, has a really good chance of, if not winning lane, at least having a big impact in games. And Berserker, not necessarily known for being the most consistent at even doing that great in lane. He just kind of like coasts in lane and then shows up later. So there is a window there for FlyQuest to get in and find leads. And mid lane, Quad's been playing very well, so I'm excited to see him versus JoJo.
Minor thing to note, Teal versus 100 Thieves and Cloud9 versus FlyQuest. The winner of both of those series qualify themselves for Worlds.
That is actually massive incentive for both of the teams and would make an upset for 100 Thieves even crazier, because that means that like Tomo comes in and just gets them to Worlds. Again, unlikely to happen, but would be cool. Would be kind of cool. That's it for LCS predictions, though. We got those three series ahead of us this next weekend. And then do they also know that we also have two more weeks of LCS after that, I believe. Or do we just have the one?
We have two more.
We should have two more.
We have two more weeks after this week.
Yeah, so we have this week, and then the 31st and the 1st, and then finals is the 6th and 7th.
The week following this one is also a three-day.
Yes, we got Super Week, and then Friday, finals. Saturday, finals. First ever Friday, Saturday, finals, instead of Saturday, Sunday, finals. And I know why, and it's very funny. The YouTube Theater, which is where LCS is doing their finals, is actually, it's been rented out on that Sunday for a very long time. It was already reserved for a Kids Bop. There is, wow, a Kids Bop concert.
I'm sorry, what?
At the YouTube Theater on Sunday, and that's why LCS can't do a Saturday Sunday finals, which is just the funniest possible like end to the last LCS split ever. But you know, I think it's pretty appropriate. Let the kids moved on from League. They didn't stick with us, so the kids are also gonna take the premiere time from us at the location that we wanted. Yeah. When I learned that information, I thought it was
incredible.
Very, very funny.
Incredible.
Again, it's out of control from LCS. Like, it was already reserved, and it was a good venue anyway. It's not that big of a deal to do Friday, Saturday, but it is odd because a lot of people that would fly in now have to take like a Friday off of work. It makes things kind of annoying. But yeah. So there you have it. LCS and LEC reviews and previews in the book. Thank you so much for listening along, everybody, and also for supporting us on Patreon, supporting our shop that we have. I still haven't made my purchase yet, but I'm going to try and go on tonight and purchase up
Kangas,
some of the
you
mugs
haven't bought yourself
and,
yet?
And hats that I want. I'm not going to get that mouse pad, man.
Dude.
I don't even know how to check the purchases, but look, still, four was the bet. There's no way we get that many.
Imagine, you're about to go live for a cast, you take your selfie of yourself in front of your setup, and next to you is just a mouse pad with your face on it, like everywhere. That's top tier.
We have different opinions of top tier, I suppose.
Man,
and it's funny if other people have it, I suppose. I have no issue with it being out there, but I don't think that there's a market for it. Pickle, have you gotten anything yet?
I have not. I've been meaning to, though, and it'll probably be that mouse pad.
You know what we can do now is we can, rather than doing silly hot sauce bets. Which, by the way, Leo, LCS stats guy, still owes me. I have a video of him confessing to the fact that I went to LCS and he didn't have the hot sauce on him to do the bet. But anyway, I'll post that on the Discord later. Rather than doing hot sauce bets and stuff, we could just do like mouse pad bets. And it's like, hey, if you lose this bet, you have to buy me a mouse pad.
Wow.
Let's inflate those numbers, everybody.
It's the Dignitas special.
Yeah. All right. Well, either way, that's it for this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening along, everybody. If you could leave us 5 stars wherever you are listening along, it really does help us out get more noticed. We are the longest running League of Legends podcast in the world, or at least in the English speaking world. I can't speak for the whole world, but we can at least hold that title. And across many different hosts, many different platforms, we appreciate those of you who have stuck with us. We love you, and we'll see you next time.
Peace.
See ya.